What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 201 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are coming to you. It's going to be hard to follow up the State of the Game podcast that we were able to do last week. That was a fantastic one for our 200th episode. But we are coming to you with a fantastic episode tonight. We're going to be talking about the Battlegrounds and, by extension, the Season Pass weapons. So there's six of those. We're going to be breaking those down for you, telling you what perks you should look out for, what weapons you should be chasing. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules doing pretty darn well, I think. Got some extra Battlegrounds runs in today, which felt good. Finally got a little bit of quiet time as far as work goes. Not a whole ton to do today, so I was able to grind out some extra Destiny, which has been few and far between, far fewer and farer than I would like. How about you?
Yeah, I was saying right before we started the podcast, I am exhausted. I went to the gym, had to get my tires changed on my car, and the tire place is right next to the gym. So I just usually drop my car off, and then I go to the gym. And they told me it'd be like an hour and a half, which is like, cool, it's a perfect time to work out. It's almost 3 hours. So did legs, did abs, rode the stationary bike for like 20-something miles. I am exhausted right now, like ready to go to sleep. But we're going to do this podcast for you anyways. I've been playing a decent amount of Destiny. Finally got a pretty decent roll on Dead Man's Tale. Got Killing Wind, which I'm pretty happy with.
Nice.
Unfortunately, still have not gotten the Flawless Master Presage. I have now done it 4 times, and I have died once, twice of those times. So I'm that close to getting it, and I'm going to get it next week when we do it. But besides that, I've been playing a lot of PvP. Been playing a decent amount of Battlegrounds. Battlegrounds is starting to wear on me a little bit now that I've done them all. You know, a dozen times, and there's no modifiers or anything like that. I was really hoping that we'd see like a master version of Battlegrounds, something a little bit more challenging. So now it's more just time consuming than it is anything else. But I still like the combat. I still like the arenas. I still like the fact that you can, you know, kind of speed run it to a certain extent, because a lot of it's based on how many enemies you kill is what progresses like the challenge bars. So got a bunch of these weapons, been trying them all out. Some of them I love, some of them I'm not so much a fan of.
You know, I have to say, I wouldn't mind if at the end of this season they just threw all of the Battlegrounds into the Strikes playlist, just to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, they're similar to Strikes with lighter mechanics and more Horde-esque enemy arenas, it seems.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, there's not a ton of story to them. Like, they're you know, obviously Strikes are a little more story-driven. But I feel like it might be some nice variety. They're in a playlist already right now on the Vanguard page. They take, you know, somewhere in the I'd say a similar amount of time to a Strike, where you're probably knocking them out in under 10 minutes if you're really on your game. You've got some good teammates. Maybe a little longer than that otherwise. Having the modifiers on the playlist, I think, makes them fun. Especially, you know, when you get heavyweight and you get solar and you happen to have a solar code duello, things get very, very explodey. So, yeah, I like them. I'm not burned out on them yet. I can see the darkness at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But yeah, I wouldn't mind if they joined Strikes in that playlist. I feel like I'd like to see these in the future, but maybe just not over and over again as often.
Yeah, you know, I keep hoping that we're going to see something like the Nightfall, the Ordeal style playlist for these things. I think that would up my enjoyment a lot more, because at this point, I think what's getting to me is that they're no longer challenging. It becomes just like a chore to wipe wave after wave of enemy, which is fun when I'm trying out a new gun or I'm trying out new abilities or something like that. But when I'm just doing it for the purposes of doing them, which I'm having to do, you know, a decent amount, because every single week we've got some type of seasonal challenge that basically requires you to go in and do like, you know, 10 of them or so. And for some reason, the seasonal challenge, like having those on the menu has just like ticked something in my head, and I must get them done. So I am now going on the 4th week of doing every single seasonal challenge during that week. Which I don't know why I have that like obsession. to me, they're like, I like can't stand seeing them up there undone. So I'm like having to go through and do them all. It's like a compulsion. So But you know, that being said, that means I've done a lot of different stuff. I've played more Gambit than I have, you know, at any point recently. It's definitely getting me out of my comfort zone and like spreading me across different playlists in the Crucible that I wouldn't normally play. I had to play 9 games of comp, which was a fucking awful experience earlier this week. That was terrible. I've played a ton of Gambit, you know, I'm doing different types of strikes and things like that. So I will say that they're serving their intended purpose of basically driving me insane because I have a need to complete them, and so making me play many different types of game modes. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of PvP too. Once I finish all those things, Dead Man's Tale, just it's really hard to take that gun out of my hand now. I will say that the hip fire aim assist is probably one of the most frustrating things about it. The fact that it does not use the normal like cone style aim assist that other guns seem to, and that it only pulls to the head if you're above their head. It doesn't pull to the head if you're beside or below their head, which is like super frustrating to do, because there's so many times where I'm like, my reticle is red, I'm aimed very close to you, and it just doesn't hit them at all, or just doesn't do any damage, or it does a body shot, and I'm like, that's incredibly frustrating, because with any other gun, that would have been a headshot or a crit.
Well,
But I'm still doing probably better with that gun than I've done with like any other gun in the history of the Crucible. Like I'm routinely having just insane games with it, and Control and an Iron Banner, so really enjoying it.
nice. Yeah, it's a fun gun. I've been working on my Catalyst slowly while I play other things. I'm just trying to take it into every activity right now. I finally got my Duality Catalyst unlocked. Which means, I think, that it might be time for me to finally say no more movie nights and bring my PlayStation back upstairs so I can actually plug it into the internet and play Crucible without lagging out.
That might be a good call.
Crucible on PC fucking sucks. There's my F-bomb for the episode. I'm done. It's awful. I hate it. It's not fun. Having a controller does not make me better. I'm just gonna throw that out there. It does not make me better at Crucible on PC. It's not great. So.
Makes sense. Yeah, one of my buddies is on PC and he's like, I can't wait for crossplay so we can finally play Crucible. I'm like, dog, I don't really want to play Crucible with you because you're going to be on PC. Like, I would much rather you get an Xbox Series X and play, you know, at 120 frames per second, 105 field of view on Xbox than I would come join you. I was like, but we'll be able to raid and we'll be able to play strikes and stuff like that. So it will be nice to finally have crossplay. But it's like, I still kind of don't really want to play in the PC. You know, PvP thing, like, yeah. Oh well.
Well, I think if we talked about this last week, but I think it's if the PC player joins your team, well, no, they can't play other
Yeah,
console.
you play PC.
Shoot.
So, yeah, if a PC player joins your team, you play in the PC pool,
I
is what
keep
happens.
getting that backwards.
Yeah, so PC players cannot play in the console pool for PvP, no matter what they do. But console players can play in the PC pool.
Which,
That's how it
yeah,
goes.
that's terrible. I'm definitely bringing my PlayStation back upstairs. There it is.
Yeah. So, all right, we got to get some housekeeping out of the way. We do not have any podcast reviews for this week, at least that the aggregator has picked up yet. Again, if you left us a podcast review in the last week, we are not ignoring it. It's just that our aggregator runs on a delay, so we might not see until next week. But remember, if you want to leave us a review, we will read that review out loud. We will offer personalized thank you. But I do believe we have some Patreon news, don't we?
So we have some thank yous to share to some new patrons. We have some shout outs to our ongoing sponsors, ZenSoCal and Shazzle. Thank you so much for your massive support. And special welcome to 3 new patrons this week. No reviews, all patrons.
I'm okay with it, you know? I'm not too upset.
So, big thank you to Master of Pickling Arts for your pledge, and also for your mastery of the pickling arts, because that was, I think, one of the first solid foods that my daughter ate was a pickle. So, just saying, we eat a lot of pickles in this house. Thank you also to Chuckles Z Clown, not the Z, so you'll know if it's the right Chuckles. Thank you so much for your pledge. And finally, thank you to Inhuman Muchu. I don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah. Is it Muchu or is it Mushu, like the dragon from Mulan?
Well, it's Mu with two O's and then Chu, C-H-U.
Ah, okay. So not like the dragon from
Mulan. No.
But still a cool name.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it.
We do. We appreciate all three of you joining the patron crew. We hope to see you in the Patrons Lounge in Discord. And I hope to see all of you listening out there in Discord at some point. Feel free to drop in, say hi, get yourself a role added so you can see our LFG channels. Jump into any of the other channels that appeal to you. We've got several for discussing various Destiny-related topics. The lobby is always a great place to discuss any topics. We've got Spicy Brews, which is just, at this point, an institution unto itself.
Terrible place to go if you're either hungry or thirsty.
Yes.
Because it will only make it worse.
Yeah. The amount of delicious food actually in Spicy Brews, you might not think it from the name. There's a lot of really good food in that channel.
Yeah, it originally was just for drinks, and then it was for food, and now it's pretty much for anything that you eat or drink or make yourself, because I posted like my desk and coffee table in there too. So we've had some woodworking in there as well.
Yeah, a little spicy woodworking for you. All right.
That's a great place.
That's the housekeeping.
All right, managing to get into the episode before 11 minutes. That's always a good sign. So we're going to be breaking down the Cabal Battlegrounds weapons for you. Now, there are four weapons that will drop by default, and then there's an additional two weapons that once you unlock them on the Season Pass, will start dropping from it as well. So the weapons that drop by default are Far Future, Extraordinary Rendition. Far Future is a sniper. Extraordinary Rendition is a submachine gun. Code Duello is a rocket launcher, and Imperial Needle is a bow. And then the two that come from the Season Pass are Brass Attacks, which is a sidearm, and Threaded Needle, which is a linear fusion rifle. So we're going to start, as we tend to do, with the primary weapons. First ones first, we have Extraordinary Rendition, which I don't know if any of you guys have watched Archer. But there is an episode where one of the voice actors who is a normal actor in Trailer Park Boys is a Canadian terrorist who is fighting for a free and sovereign Nova Scotia. And they come to arrest him and he starts screaming, "Extraordinary Rendition, Extraordinary Rendition." And that's all I can think about whenever I say the name for this gun. But anyways, it is an aggressive SMG, which in game the rounds per minute is 750. If things are still the way they were when I tested this back when they first came out, it is actually a 720 RPM submachine gun. When I was at Bungie, I asked them why they listed a 750. They said, "We don't know. Vicarious Visions built that gun. I think it's a typo, but we don't want to change it in case it's not and it breaks anything." So that was what they said when I said, "Why is it 750?" They said, "We think it's 720. I tested it and frame counted when they first came out. Granted, this was on a 30 FPS Xbox One, but 30 FPS does match up to the tick rate, which is also 30. And it, for all intents and purposes, functioned the exact same way as a 720 RPM auto rifle, where it alternated 3 frames and 2 frames for each shot. And regardless, also 750 RPM can't work damage-wise because of the tick rate. So it could only do 720 RPM anyways, unless I think someone figured out what it would have to be 750 RPM. And it was like, it would have to be 3 frames, 2 frames, 2 frames, 2 frames, 3 frames, 3 frames, 2 frames. It was like some really long, weird pattern that was like a 12 shot long pattern. And I was like, I don't think it's that. I think it's probably just a typo. So,
yeah. Yeah. I remember being very confused about the math on these at first. And I was just like, okay, yeah, it's definitely not 750. Whatever it is, it's not 750. So I have this gun. I've been playing with it quite a bit. And I can definitely say it's a submachine gun.
Yeah, I've actually been using it too. Not a ton in PvP, although I did try. The time to kill is pretty fast. It's a 0.67 second time to kill, which in PvP is quite quick for a primary, but it does require 9 crits. Which is 100% crits because it's 9 shots to kill. So you're probably not going to hit that in PvP. The accuracy adjusted time to kill is still pretty good though. I think it's 0.77 seconds for 6 crits and 4 bodies, and then the body shot is 1.00 seconds for 13 body shots. So up close, it does have a fast time to kill. They are definitely a lot easier to use now on console than they were before. So much so that I'm still not really using them in PvP, but I'm using them a pretty decent amount in PvE. So if we do just want to go over the stats really fast, the range is 48. That's kind of middle of the road for aggressives. You've obviously got the Ikelos at 54 on the top end, and then you've got some like Hard Truths down at 45 near the bottom. The stability is 17, which is terrible. For comparison, the Ikelos is 39. The reload speed is 30, which is okay. The handling is 60. Again, the Ikelos is 73. The aim assist is 34. Ikelos is 42. The one thing it does have going for it is 97 recoil direction compared to the 90 of the Ikelos, and the mag size is 28. The Ikelos is 30. So if you were asking, is this better than my Ikelos SMG? The answer is a pretty resounding no. But it is probably, I would say, the second best of that group. Hard Truths is actually terrible, and I also do not think Cold Front is very good, even after the SMG buffs that they got on controller.
Yeah, Cold Front is pretty terrible in comparison. I mean, this is a tough archetype or kind of subtype to be in, because the Ikelos is just always the better choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... For one, it's an Ikelos, which means, you know, Warmind cells. And in PvE, if you have an option to make Warmind cells or to not make Warmind cells, I think you know which one you want to choose. And in PvP, SMGs just really are not an optimal choice. They're viable, and if you spend a lot of time with them, you can get pretty decent with them. I've definitely been killed by them a few times this season. I'd say they're much better on PC than on console, and much more viable on PC than on console, because the recoil is far more controllable, even post-nerf. It's very easy to control. I have just an extraordinary rendition that I did take into the Crucible briefly by mistake. I forgot that I was still in my Battlegrounds loadout, and that was a fun match. I did not do well, but I did find that I could land shots at a surprising distance with the submachine gun. So, you know, what else can you say about it in terms of the experience in the game? I think... maybe talk about what it does have going for it, which is a pretty interesting perk set.
Yeah, and this is one of the few times in the game that we're fortunate enough that kind of what you want for PvE and what you want for PvP relatively well lines up. I prioritize stability a little bit more in PvP, but because it is a submachine gun and because I do play on console, I also prioritize stability in PvP as well. Especially in the barrel and the mag perks, right? Not so much in the trait slots. So for me, when I'm looking at barrels, really the ones that I want are polygonal rifling, small bore, corkscrew rifling, maybe chambered compensator, although chambered compensator isn't necessarily necessary because it takes the recoil direction up to 100, which you don't need, but it does cut the handling down by 5. So I prefer polygonal rifling or small bore. In the magazine slot, steady rounds is good in this. The range penalty isn't going to hurt much, especially if you get small bore. But you can also go with flared magwell or tactical mag. I actually kind of like tactical mag. Just gives you one more in the magazine, but that one bullet can make a difference. Or flared magwell helps you reload a decent amount faster. So I actually like any of those options that you get. And then in the first trait slot, there are some pretty decent choices. I happen to have one with firmly planted that I find is you know, probably makes the gun feel as good as you possibly can make the gun feel, as long as you're crouched when you're shooting it. But what I'm really hoping for is either a subsistence or an overflow one. Subsistence, I think, would be really fantastic, because the problem with these guns is 28 in the mag, 720 RPM, it burns through that magazine really, really fast. I constantly find myself running out of ammo, wishing I had more. So subsistence would definitely help for that. Overflow actually can double the magazine size if you're picking up ammo. And it is active surprisingly often, even in PvP.
Yeah.
So I would be very happy with either one of those things. Because I think subsistence, it does this weird thing where like it only gives you back like two or three shots on an SMG, which is odd. Because it gives you back like two shots on Dead Man's Tail, which is a scout rifle that only takes three shots to kill.
Yeah. Right?
And an SMG takes nine shots to kill minimum, and you still only get like three back. So it's not really equivalent, which is unfortunate. And so I think overflow might actually be a little bit better, but still getting three shots back is not something I'm gonna sneeze at in a 28 round mag.
Yeah, I think overflow is a fantastic perk for this weapon. Just don't forget and like, you know, run double primaries in PvP or PvE, because you'll be a little bit sad about that. Surplus, I think, is also a extremely strong choice for this weapon. If you are conserving your abilities a little bit more, even if you're keeping about, you know, 1 to 2 up on average, that stability buff is going to be significant. That, honestly, I probably would, for a PvP version of this gun, I would want surplus, I think. And I would just lean into it and make sure I was conserving my abilities when I didn't need to use them.
Mm-hmm. And then in the last trait slot, actually a ton of really, really good options. There is tap the trigger. I find that although I like it in theory, because, you know, obviously the boost to stability and accuracy on the initial trigger pull, although I like it in theory, I just don't find it to be, number one, it's not great in PvE, right? Like super not useful in PvE.
Right.
In PvP, I still, because these guns aren't necessarily just like the best dueling weapons, like I kind of almost have to be like, you know, memeing with an SMG to be using it if I'm actually trying to play in PvP. So I kind of would prefer Killclip or Rampage. Killclip is pretty darn good and this gun, and I believe Killclip drops the TTK down to like half a second, like 0.5 seconds.
Oh, and it is multi-Killclip that it has, not regular.
Sorry, multi-Killclip. Which I guess it takes two stacks to drop it down to half a second. Still great. Actually better in PvE because you can constantly refresh it as opposed to Killclip, which you can't. And then Rampage is great. The one that I have right now is actually firmly planted Rampage, and it's pretty much my go-to in PvE right now. Like that, along with my trusty, is my like try-hard PvE loadout, because I can get overload SMG and anti-barrier rounds on the trusty, and then I use Leviathan's Breath, which is unstoppable. So pretty much between those three, like I don't ever take that loadout off when I'm doing high-level PvE stuff. That's my loadout for raids. That's my loadout for Presage. That's my loadout for Nightfalls. So I actually really like this gun in PvE. Thresh, also a pretty good option, kind of just a more passive perk, doesn't really improve the gun at all, just gives you a little bit of bonus super energy. I'm still probably going to take Rampage or Multi-Kill Clip over that. You know, Thresh is, or sorry, I shouldn't say Thresh. Thresh would be something that would be extremely useful if it was in PvP. You know, like getting your super faster is vitally important in PvP, especially in comp, you know, round-based game modes like comp or trials. The fact that it doesn't work in PvP, like I'm very rarely in, and maybe this is because of the way I play PvE, but I'm very rarely like trying to shave seconds off my super time in PvE, right? Maybe that's because, you know, being the Revenant Hunter that I am, I'm just like not really spamming my super. I kind of use my super, you know, strategically here and there. Maybe if I had a super that I was using to spam or to add clear or something, it'd be a lot more important. So that might just be a my playstyle type option. I think Thresh is still a great perk for PvE.
Yeah, I think Thresh is a solid option. I have Frenzy, which is an interesting perk. So being in combat for an extended time seems to mean about 10 to 12 seconds in which you are either taking damage or dealing damage, you know, at least every few seconds. Over that time span, the buffs that it gives you are fairly significant, but I can't say that I really felt on this gun And I was running it in Battlegrounds, so definitely activating Frenzy. Didn't feel like it made a massive difference. The reload speed didn't feel significantly faster. I mean, the handling, you know, is already pretty good because it's an SMG, so I didn't really particularly notice that. I was definitely able to swap to Dead Man's Tail quickly, but was it that much more quickly than I normally can? I couldn't tell you. And then the damage buff undoubtedly had some effect, but when you're just clearing red bars, a little bit of extra damage, I don't know. You know, I already had the minor spec on, giving me a constant damage buff. I didn't feel like this was a make-or-break choice. I probably would have rather had something like multi-kill clip, where I could have really ramped up the damage buff and then pumped a mag into a major. Or, for that matter, honestly, Thresh wouldn't have been a bad choice, because I was definitely taking down a lot of red bars with this gun. And that does add up. You know, those seconds when you kill 20 or 30 adds suddenly becomes a significant portion of time. So I think yeah. I felt that it was underwhelming for the amount of time that it takes to activate. I really expected more.
So I will say that I have I have a sidearm with Frenzy. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I had to do some research on this because I could not figure out. Granted, I didn't try a ton of testing on my own. I kind of just used it and was like, does this pop up? Couldn't really figure out what it was that was triggering it. Seems to be, from what I've read online, that if you either take or deal damage, that basically starts like a timer. And then as long as you either take or deal damage again within like 4 or 5 seconds, and you do that 3 times pretty much, over a total of like 12 seconds, it then activates and gives you a 20% damage buff, which basically then stays up until you haven't dealt or taken damage for 7 seconds, I think is what it is. So, you know, it's the damage buff it gives you is basically as good as high energy fire from Charged with Light, which is nice. What's really nice about it is that it can activate when the gun is stowed, and then you can pull the gun out and have Frenzy active. So that's kind of where I think it is. Now, where I would be using this is PvP. Haven't noticed it activate in PvP. I think I need to do more explicit testing and like trying to activate it in PvP. But the fact of the matter is if it's like taking damage within 5 seconds, taking or dealing damage, like I'm not sure how often it's going to be in use. Yeah. But I do want to take it into PvP a little bit more and see if I can get it to work. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to. But where I think it could be strong is on a special weapon or a heavy weapon that's stowed, that it then activates, you switch that weapon, and you basically have a 20% buff, like, ready to go. I think that may be where Frenzy is better, actually, than on a primary, which is a kind of a little bit counterintuitive, because you think it would, you know, activate most on a primary, but the fact of the matter is you don't have to have the gun out to have it activate, right? You can have the gun stowed and it will activate, so.
Yeah, this definitely, to me, feels like a perk, I guess, that if it's going to be on a primary, I think I would want it to be on a longer range primary so that I actually, in PvP, have an opportunity to sort of control the activation of it, and the lack of the ability to really control activating it is kind of a turnoff for me. You know, I'd rather have Rampage, Multi-Kill Clip, something where I can control and know, you know, okay, I'm activating it now, this is how much of a buff I've got. Now's the time to attack the major or whatever. Or Thresh, where it's just always working in the background, always benefiting you. Or even, you know, tap the trigger in PvP, where I know every time I enter an engagement, boom, I've got this buff, I don't have to think about it.
And something I do want to clarify, since you brought up those perks again, you do not want multi-kill clip and... do not want multi-kill clip and overflow. Just FY. Because overflowed, you cannot reload your weapon.
Yeah.
So if you are overflowed and you get a kill, you will not be able to reload. So do not go with multi-kill clip and overflow. You can use subsistence because it's not going to stack you back up to full. Although that pretty much defeats the purpose of subsistence. So I would, you know, definitely run with surplus if you're getting multi-kill clip. But if you have rampage, you know, overflow or subsistence will work better. So
yeah,
just want to say that. All right, that's a lot of talk about short arrow rendition, which I guess is a nice change because we're actually talking about an SMG being usable on console and controller, which for the longest time we've not been able to do that. So, you know, it's a heck of a difference that I'm actually using SMGs now. Still not in PvP, not quite, but
yeah, I think that's the that's maybe why we spent so much time on it, is because we haven't had a good SMG to talk about in a hot minute. Not since probably the Aikalos. So
yeah, and the thing was, the Aikalos was good basically in spite of being an SMG. Now it's just even better. But okay, so next up is Brass Attacks. Brass Attacks again comes from the Season Pass. It is an aggressive burst sidearm. The aggressive burst sidearms have a wonderful thing about them where they're basically the easiest guns to use ever. You really don't even need to hit crits. I think the optimal TTK is 0.73 seconds with 3 crits and 2 bodies, but the body shot TTK is 0.83 seconds with 6 body shots. So you can just put 3 bursts into someone in PvP and drop them. Now, not at an extraordinary range. They actually have horrible range. Seemingly, which is kind of weird to me, they have pretty much the worst range of any sidearm, which is weird because you would think that due to the impact they do, they'd be better, but they're not. And now that doesn't show up stat wise, but in actual use, that's how it plays out, right? So part of that is they have awful recoil and they jump a ton. Just their usable range is not great. But stat wise, they've got about 47 range, which Brass Attacks, that's actually pretty bad for an aggressive burst. Smuggler's Word, for example, is an old one, but it had 55. The Breach Light from the Sundial had 53. Right. So granted, you know, at this point in time, you can tell by the ones I just read out, you don't have a lot of choices for aggressive burst sidearms. If you want to use an aggressive burst sidearm, it's pretty much this one or you're done. The stability is awful at 44, but they're all awful across the board. The reload speed is okay, below average at 34. Handling isn't great at 42, but that's handling on a sidearm. They're all pretty good. The aim assist is quite high at 89, which is nice. The recoil direction is 90. Mag size is 24, which of course is 12 burst. How, you know, I like this gun. I've used it a bit in PvP. It's not really blowing me away though.
To be completely honest with you, I love this archetype of sidearms. This has become my favorite archetype of sidearms because you can play, they're so easy to use that you can just play hyper aggressive with them. And you can be bunny hopping and bouncing around, and you don't really have to try. All you have to do is spam shots, and you will get the kill. There's no real thinking. You just sort of point in the general direction, and just pull the trigger as fast as you can. And the thing I love about it is it allows me to be far more mobile than I otherwise am. I'm not always the... Mobility while shooting is one of my weaknesses as a player. Some of that comes from probably just my methodical mental nature. Some of it maybe comes from being 34 playing a shooter. Some of it comes from just not having tens of hours a week to play. But this is a gun where I feel like I can be hyper mobile and still land my shots. And honestly, it actually works a little bit better that way, because if you're in the air above somebody, it's really hard to miss the head. And you only need 3 crits, right? So it's like 3 crits, you're going to get 2 bodies in there somewhere. And that's all it takes. So I really love these as an option. I have been sad since Breachlight was sunset, and I'm super thrilled to see another one come in, and especially that it's a chase weapon, because this also drops from the Umbral Engrams. So we're going to have a lot of opportunities to farm good rolls on this gun.
Yeah, I did take it into PvP. I tried pairing it with Dead Man's Tale, obviously. I ended up going back to a Glacio Chasm. I just felt that having a special in that slot was working out a lot better for me. I think maybe if I was running a sniper as my kinetic, I would have appreciated it more, because then I wouldn't have been ammo starved with running double specials. They are pretty easy to get a decently fast time to kill. I found even stacking a little bit of stability that the recoil was just still a bit much. But I did notice what you said. In the air, the accuracy is great, which is really, really nice. I use that a lot. The hipfire accuracy is pretty good, and they are just pretty easy to use. I haven't gotten one that has what I want, which is I would like either, you know, small bore and ricochet rounds, chamber compensator and ricochet rounds, polygonal rifling. Like, I would like to see how one feels if I can max out stability. I think that might maybe sway my opinion a little bit more to the positive side of it. Because the traits that are in this gun are pretty good. You know, you've got Feeding Frenzy, which obviously is great for PvE. You've got Killing Wind, which is great for PvP. Slideways, good for PvP. Surplus, pretty decent. Rapid Hit, I'm less stoked about on this gun because, you know, you're so not reliant on crits that you can't always necessarily assume that you're going to have Rapid Hit, you know, three stacks or higher up. And the reload speed's already pretty fast anyways. But it does boost the stability, which is nice.
I will say, just for comparison's sake, that the breech light that I was using had extended barrel to straighten out the recoil, had under pressure elemental capacitor, and then like the base stability was 66 with flared magwell in there. So it was an extremely stable version of this sidearm. So stability very much matters.
For comparison, even if you get a brass attacks with ricochet rounds and polygonal rifling, or sorry, I should say chambered compensator, your stability will only be 62. So, you know, it is going to be a difference between that and breech light. But, you know, like, that's why you've got surplus, that's why you've got slideways, potentially even rapid hit, although I think that might be the least impressive of those. I would probably take killing wind for a little bit of the bonus to range as well. And then the last trait slot, it's not as good as some of the others. I think Rampage for PvE and PvP is probably, you know, a tier one perk. You do have Wellspring, One for All. One for All is a neat-ish perk. I find One for All pretty easy to activate in PvE. Less useful on these guns that potentially take, you know, two bursts to kill someone when you don't have a ton of bursts. You don't have a ton of the rest of the magazine there to kind of use up that bonus damage. I've gotten One for All to actually activate a couple of times in PvP too, which I was pretty proud of. So
that's yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah. It basically you have to understand that, like, all you're trying to do is just tag people. If you just see someone, like, the timer in between the times that you have to damage someone is pretty generous. Unfortunately, One for All's timer itself, the damage boost, is quite short. And so you have, like, you know, 5 seconds in between damaging one person to damage the next one, which then gives you another 5 seconds to damage the next one. But then it comes up and it's only like 4 seconds or 5 seconds anyway. So it just, like, disappears. So kind of was underwhelmed by One for All. But, you know, I do like Rampage. Dragonfly, always a ton of fun for PvE, even kind of fun for PvP, although, you know, it doesn't really do a ton. And then Frenzy, we've already discussed, so.
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely a fan, if you can make it happen, of you know, either chambered compensator or polygonal rifling. On the barrel, like you said, ricochet rounds is just like, I mean, I don't want to call it a must have. I think flared magwell is also fine, but ricochet rounds is just inarguably better. Surplus, I don't know. It's going to be hard to not want surplus on this gun. And then, yeah, that last trade slot, unfortunately, it's just not a whole lot for PvP. You know, it's pretty much, like you said, it's just really Rampage that's any good. One for All is, I love One for All in PvE. It's great for taking out a room full of ads really quickly. Especially, you know, even with a gun that doesn't have a lot of ammo, you know, these sidearms reload really quickly. So you can keep One for All going pretty easily in a room full of ads. But that's then the only place you can use it. Rampage, also great for clearing a room full of ads. Also great in PvP. So.
Yep. Next up is probably my least favorite of the primaries that came out of Battlegrounds. It's the Imperial Needle. It is a lightweight combat bow. I just don't really like the lightweight bows. I don't feel like they do enough damage. I don't feel like the difference in draw time is big enough to take away the difference in accuracy and the difference in damage. But you know, the Imperial Needle, 600 millisecond draw time, does 138 crit, 86 to the body. So you can kill with a crit and a body, whereas the precisions you can kill with two bodies. The accuracy is 49, which is not good at all for a bow. It's not even really great for lightweight bows. You've got, you know, not that you can get the Vow anymore from Crypts and Days, but that has 54. The Spiteful Fang from the BA Forge has 53. Arsenic Bite has 52. So there were some better options out there. I guess the one that most people would have right now would probably be Tyranny of Heaven from Last Wish, which is 48. So it is better than that one. The stability literally is meaningless, but it's 48. The reload speed is 64. Like pretty much almost all lightweight bows, except for some reason, Tyranny of Heaven has like 28 reload speed. I don't know why it has that. I feel like that's either a bug or something weird. I have no idea why Tyranny of Heaven is so far down there. The handling is 71, which is quite fast, and the aim assist is 80, which is pretty decently high. But I mean, you know, have you ever really been impressed with lightweight bows outside of the Vow? Because I knew that you're gonna say that as soon as I said that.
I'm still sad about the lack of Crimson Days this year because it meant no reprised the Vow. But other than the Vow, I have not been super thrilled with pretty much any of them. I think I may have to keep my eyes a little closer on my Imperial Needle rolls. I do get it, like, I don't know, twice an hour when I play, it seems like. This gun is gonna be a tough one to get a good roll on because there's really only like, I mean, the second trait slot has a couple of options. The fletching has a couple of options, but there's not a whole lot of wiggle room, I think. I think there's about one or two ways to make this bow viable, and you know, even then, you still really, I think, are going to want an accuracy masterwork. And if you don't get the accuracy masterwork and everything else is perfect, it's like, is it any good at all? Maybe. Like, it's a very iffy gun to chase. So,
Yeah, I mean the yeah,
or
to me
bow.
the only really good thing that you know what you can do is you know you can get maybe a draw time masterwork and accuracy masterwork. For me, there's only like really one option of what string and arrow shaft I want. It's polymer string, which is plus 3 accuracy and a slight decrease to draw time, and fiberglass arrow shaft, which is plus 11 accuracy. That will get the accuracy up to 63. And accuracy is basically like, you know, how likely you are to hit the head with the bow when you're pulling it. So it substitutes for range on these.
No high tension string? That plus 10 accuracy?
Well, no, because it also hurts the draw
It does
time.
hurt the draw time, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. And I, you know, the only benefit these things have going for them is their faster draw time. It's like, if why am I going to slow down the draw time and get the accuracy still not even what the precisions are,
That's
right, at
fair.
that point. So,
That's fair.
yeah, in terms of perks, obviously Archer's Tempo in the trait slot is pretty good. Killing Wind is pretty good. New perk Impulse Amplifier. It does significantly flatten out the non-100% drawn bows. However, because they are projectiles and they are slow projectiles, even with Impulse Amplifier, it still is only really something you should be doing in a panic. And so I did not find that it was tremendously useful. Now, someone did do some testing the other day on Nessus, standing at the top of Artifact's Edge, and they found that even a fully drawn bow appears to be a projectile now, which they have not. When bows first came out, a fully drawn bow was hitscan. So they were fully drawing a bow and shooting down at targets, and there was a delay in between hitting the target and damage popping up, which was not present when they swapped over to like a pulse rifle and shot the pulse rifle at the target. So haven't confirmed that testing myself. I'm just putting it out there that it's possible that Impulse Amplifier makes the bow hitscan when you fully draw it. In which case, that would kind of be a dirty thing to do. Make bows not hitscan and then give them a perk that makes them going back to be hitscan.
That'd be pretty dirty.
Yeah. So, you know, take that as you will. Like I said, I haven't tested it. It was just something that I saw in the Discord. I did not find that impulse amplifier on this bow dramatically changed my perception of it. I would still probably go with Archer's Tempo or Killing Wind. And then in the last slot, to me, the only choice that I would really want is Opening Shot, again, for the bonus to accuracy. You could also use Swashbuckler for the bonus to damage, Thresh for PvE, or potentially Frenzy. But we talked about Frenzy on primary weapons, and I just don't think it's that strong. But there is very little on this gun that would make, or on this bow, I should say, that would really make me want to use it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty fair assessment. You know, I think Killing Wind, Opening Shot is a pretty phenomenal perk combo, and I just wish that the bow itself was a little bit better. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. If you want to use a lightweight bow, well, you don't have a lot of choices right now.
Yep. Next up, we're going to move on to the special weapons. We do have the Far Future, which is an adaptive sniper rifle. It is actually a pretty good sniper. I actually really enjoyed it. I know everybody's going on about Frozen Orbit right now, the aggressive coming from the Crucible, and I will agree, I do love Frozen Orbit. I've got a great Frozen Orbit role. It is pretty much the only sniper that I felt like using in quite some time. But the Far Future is pretty decent, pretty decent. You know, if you like a little bit lower zoom, which it is, it's 4.5 instead of 5 times. If you like a little bit higher base handling, which it has, obviously it doesn't do the damage, obviously it doesn't quite have the range. The range is 53, which even for an adaptive it's on the higher side, but you do have, you know, obviously Adored has like 73 with the perks that it has that are set. Eye of Soul has 55, Beloved had 55, the stability is 52 compared to 51, reload speed's 48, Beloved was 44. The handling isn't quite as good. The handling is 47. That's kind of on the lower end of the spectrum for adaptives. Most of the ones that people like are 50 plus. And then the inventory is pretty low at 30, not that people care as much about that for PvP. The aim assist is 62, which is average. Again, the ones that people like, Eye of Soul, Adored, Beloved, they're all 68. And then the zoom, as we've talked about, is 4.5 times instead of, you know, obviously 4.0 was what all the top-end snipers used to be. I do not think Bungie is going to make the mistake of making 4.0 zoom snipers anymore. Definitely not adaptive or aggressive ones.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen again anytime soon.
Which is for the best.
Yeah, it really is. So, what have we got here for perks? We've got barrels and mags. I'm gonna be honest with you, I hardly even look at those when I'm sniping because I'm just like not there.
Yeah, to me it's just get a little bit of handling, get as much handling as you can. If on the adaptives, if you can get a little bit of ranger stability too, great, right? So like corkscrew rifling is good. Arrowhead break, I think, is the one that most people go with. Fluted barrel is a good one. Any of those three are going to be fine. You just kind of want to put some handling into it, because even though it's an adaptive, compared to D1, the handling is still like just by default low on snipers. They just don't feel as snappy as they did in D1. So I always try to go for handling in the barrel slot. In the mag slot, you know, accurized rounds is good if you want to boost the range up a little bit. That'll make it sticky at longer distances. A pendant mag, if you want the mag bumped up to 5. You know, I wouldn't say no to flared magwell or something like that. I think flared magwell is probably your best bet for PVE. If you can't get a pendant mag and get the magazine jumped up to 5, you know, where you're really gonna make your money is the trait slots with a sniper.
Yep.
I think most people will agree that quick draw is a tier one perk, but you know, if you don't get quick draw, there's also moving target and trait slot one. I like both of those options.
Yeah, those were the two I had my eye on here, because Quick Draw pairs great with Opening Shot in Trait Slot 2, to kind of just give you your sort of your ideal PvP sniper. All the accuracy and range you need on that one shot, and obviously maxed out handling so you can put it away quickly if you get rushed, or pop it out quickly.
If I could get a handling masterwork and like a handling barrel, and I wouldn't even necessarily care what mag I got, if I could get moving target and opening shot, I would be a happy, happy camper. Pair that with a sniper targeting mod, because right now on the artifact, you've got sniper and scout targeting.
Yeah.
That's only like two, right? So you could run double of those on a helmet, and you could just have the stickiest sniper that you could get in the Crucible. So I have a close roll. I do have an opening shot or an opening shot for our future, which I quite like. I think it feels very good. Does not have moving target, which I'm disappointed in, but I'm really hoping to get a roll like that. Also of note, Frenzy. We mentioned Frenzy on primaries, weren't necessarily the biggest fan of it. This is an opportunity where Frenzy would be good, because Frenzy will activate while it's stowed. You can swap to Frenzy and do additional boss damage, especially if you got a pinned mag or something like that. So I would think that that would be a pretty good perk on this gun for PvE.
Yeah, I would agree that this is, I think, the first weapon we've seen it on where there's a scenario that it makes a lot of sense in. Pretty easy to be in that situation where you're either dealing or taking damage in a boss fight, just basically the whole time. And that extra, you know, 20% damage buff is going to pay off big, big dividends. So that's, yeah, I think that's probably it, you know, and if you can get that paired with, you know, either, I guess tactical mag doesn't actually increase the magazine size on this one.
It's so only a pendant mag.
Got to be a pendant extended mag if you're super desperate and have a way to reload the gun without having to reload it. Or alloy magazine would also be pretty solid. Faster reloads when the mag is empty. That would work out for you pretty well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next up, we're going to move on to the heavy weapons. You got Code Duello, which is a high-impact solar rocket launcher. Like all high impacts, blast radius of 95, rate of fire 15. The velocity is actually decently good for a high impact. They usually have in the low 40s. This one has 48. Stability is 62. Nobody cares about that on a rocket launcher. The reload speed is 42. The handling is 72, which is actually good. The inventory is 42, mag size obviously being 1. So Code Duello has a great perk pool for a rocket launcher. I mean, just really some fantastic, fantastic options. Great for boss damage, PvE. Great for a PvP legendary rocket launcher. As good as it could be for a PvP legendary rocket launcher. You know, it's already got 95 blast radius. So if you, you know, get a blast radius masterwork, if you get pretty much one blast radius perk, like, you know, black powder or linear compensator or, you know, something like that, you're pretty much going to be very close to maxing out the blast radius, which means you don't need to do a ton for it. And you can kind of focus on other things, like velocity is generally what I focus on.
I want to say too, if you happen to end up with a lasting impression in your final trait slot, that will also max out your blast radius. So it's possible that you can completely ignore it in that barrel perk slot, and instead focus solely on, say, you know, velocity, handling. I guess that's really your only two options, right? So maybe, you know, maybe then quick launch becomes a really good choice. A nice big buff to both velocity and handling.
Yeah. Lasting Impressions is a great perk on rocket launchers, especially for boss DPS. I've even found it to be hilariously effective in PvP, because you shoot the rocket like at a control point and people just seemingly think that the rocket just like missed and they like walk right over it and it just detonates. So I don't know why people don't pay any attention to it. It's even gotten me a couple of times. But I will just like,
it's sneaky.
And the blast radius is massive and it does a ton of damage. So, you know, I've actually found it to be pretty funny in PvP. So I don't mind having a lasting impression rocket launcher. Obviously, you know, for PvP, I still think realistically cluster bombs is probably still the best. I've been using a chain reaction one. I have yet to get a kill with the chain reaction explosion in PvP.
Too bad.
Yeah. In PvE, fantastic. Incredibly good when you're using it to clean up adds. Particularly great in battlegrounds. in PvP, I have probably, I mean, you don't get a ton of heavy kills in PvP, but I have probably 100 kills with a chain reaction rocket launcher, and not a single one of those was from chain reaction itself. So I still think either cluster bombs or lasting impressions is the best bet for PvP. In PvE, and this is the last trait slot we're talking about, decent amount of good options. Obviously, chain reaction we already spoke about, lasting impressions we already spoke about, ambitious assassin. Also, you know, problem is, like, you would want ambitious assassin when you're doing boss damage, but you're going to get ambitious assassin when you're doing ad clearing. So kind of, unless you're lucky and you shoot a boss and it kills an ad that's around it and then you get two back, or when you prep it and you use a rocket to get a kill first and then you have two rockets, like, that will jump your DPS up a little bit, but, like, it kind of sucks because you also wasted a rocket on it. And, you know, you only have six or seven rockets, so.
Yeah. I mean, so, I guess if we're, you shot really fast to that in slot there. Did we talk about impact casing?
No, literally not at all. I just completely skipped it.
I was just like, wait a minute. Did I like blank out and miss part of the conversation?
Yeah, you blacked out in the middle of our mad conversation on rocket launchers.
Man, that was weird.
I got excited. I just wanted to talk about the cool perks in the end.
They are super cool, but I just want to make a point here of mentioning that this gun rolls with impact casing. So in case you didn't have enough options for damage buffs on your Code Duello, as far as a rocket launcher that does not have tracking as even an option, this is the first one that I have not been able to, like, stop using, because it has so many damage buff options. So impact casing, it's like a 10% buff to your impact damage, and that's, like, literally, you can't miss with this gun. It's important that you don't miss. So for boss DPS, that's phenomenal. You've got that, you stack on, you know, your boss damage mod, you stack on the end, a few different good perk options there. You end up in super, super great shape. The first trade slot is almost totally irrelevant. Like, whatever you get, is whatever. Field prep and auto-loading holster, I think, would be my optimal choices. But you know, ultimately, it's less important than the other perk slots. So not a make or break. So I was looking at a damage comparison between Frenzy and Lasting Impression. And Frenzy actually seems to come out on top by just a few thousand damage. For a full magazine. So it's not a huge difference. For me, that makes Lasting Impression a really easy choice because I don't have to think about it. I don't have to make sure it's active. It just works every time. That said, if you feel like Frenzy is very easy for you to activate, then it is, because you can stow this gun, pull out a primary, shoot the boss with your primary or your special, for that matter. You know, empty a full mag of sniper rounds and then pull out your rocket launcher. And then, sure, you can use Frenzy. I guess that's not how I'm using it. And that feels like a hassle to me. If I want to use the rocket launcher for damage, then Lasting Impression is just a lot easier. It works in every situation. And because there's not a huge difference between them, for me, Lasting Impression is the obvious choice for PvE. When it comes to taking out an entire squad of ads, it's phenomenal in Battlegrounds because the Cabal will all jump in together. There's like 5 or 10 of them piled up. And if you time it and if you've aimed correctly, boom, they all go down at once. It feels really good. Also does just ridiculous damage to the bosses. It's absolutely ridiculous how much health it takes off. So I'm super, super thrilled with Lasting Impression. It is, I think, roughly a 25% damage buff to the explosion damage. It does not buff the impact, which is why you also need impact casing. Get a nice 10% on top of that. His impact casing won't affect the explosion.
All right. I will say, I too have been enjoying Lasting Impressions, but I don't want anyone to sleep on Impulse Amplifier. Just because it massively increases the projectile velocity. And when they say massive, they do mean massive. It's actually such a big difference that after using a rocket launcher with impulse amplifier, it was almost impossible for me to go back to another rocket launcher if it did not have tracking, because my aim with rockets was so bad. It got to the point where with impulse amplifier, I would be a decent amount away from the target and I would just point at the target and shoot. And it would get there so quick that I wasn't really worried about the target like moving out of the range. Then I went to do that with a gun or with a rocket launcher that did not have impulse amplifier. And I was like 15 meters behind the target by the time it got there. So it is a pretty substantial difference. And for PvP, that can make a huge, huge difference in whether or not you get the kill or the target escapes.
Yeah, that's a great point. I did sleep on it a little bit because I was just so excited about the massive delayed explosions.
It is tremendously fun to stick something with a rocket.
It
reminds you exactly of the Scorch cannons.
Yeah,
is pretty much what it is.
It's totally a Scorch cannon.
And it detonates after a time. So I like that they reuse that mechanic into something that we get more often than Scorch cannon.
And we don't always mention the Masterwork, but Velocity Masterwork, I think, is probably a no brainer here. I wouldn't sneeze at reload speed either, because it's a rocket launcher. It's atrocious.
Yeah. And for PvP, I would, if you don't get, a blast, anything, if you get a single perk that benefits blast radius, you're pretty much good to go. You don't really need anything else. If you don't, then a blast radius masterwork is okay. And if you do get a blast radius masterwork, then I hope that you get, quick launch and high velocity rounds, because that will jump the velocity up to a much more respectable 66. Yeah, but I think we can probably move on to the last gun in the set, the Threaded Needle, also a season pass reward that you have to unlock. It is a linear fusion rifle, which pretty much means in the current state of the game, it is hot garbage, which is very disappointing.
It's fair to say.
Yeah, it's not Arbalest, which means it's not tremendously useful in PvP, and it's not a sword or a rocket launcher, which means it's not tremendously useful in PvE either.
Whoa, you're saying that a linear fusion rifle just being a special weapon instead of a heavy makes it actually somewhat useful? That's insane.
It would indeed.
Insane.
Just not great. As far as it goes, there's only so much you can do with linear fusions, right? Like, I wish that, liquid coils would at least buff it so that it could kill with body shots, but it can't. So what that means is I try to max range, which is hammer forged rifling in the barrel. I'll take projection fuse in the mag, or I'll take accelerated coils. Accelerated coils doesn't drop the impact enough to where it doesn't kill on a headshot, so you might as well get the faster charge rate. Things that are useless on a linear fusion rifle. You don't really want rangefinder, because that's, it narrows the field of view even more. Auto-loading holster would be okay for PvE. Rapid hit is maybe okay for PvE, but there's just so long in between shots. It's a half second. Even with accelerated coils, it's a half second in between each shot. Clown cartridge is pretty good for PvE, because it actually procs like 50% of the time. And it just overloads the magazine. So if you're just reloading normally, sometimes you'll come back with a larger magazine. But the problem is they just don't do enough damage in the heavy slot to justify being a heavy weapon. And they're outclassed by pretty much everything else. So it's like all these things that I'm telling you are like great hypotheticals for if they get a 20% buff in the future. And it like kind of brings it back to on par. Nothing is really going to save it. The only perk I would even care about for PvP is Killing Wind. Nothing is really going to save this gun and make it tremendously useful, unless you're just trying to meme on people and you just want to use it for fun,
Wait, here's the play for PvP. You get Killing Wind, and then you get multi-kill clip. And then you have to get 3 kills with it and then reload.
Yeah. And it's like, look at your options for PvP in this last slot. Demolitionist, right, which is useless in PvP. Thresh literally doesn't work in PvP. Dragonfly, which disgustingly is probably the most useful perk for PvP that this gun has.
It's got multi-kill a vorpal clip. Weapon.
Okay, which it already does enough to headshot a super... Well, granted, now you can maybe headshot a behemoth. Right? There you go. So Vorpal Weapon as a behemoth takedown gun. Frenzy, again, we need to investigate it more in PvP, but I would be extraordinarily surprised if it was useful because what are you going to do with a 20% damage buff to anything that's not a behemoth, basically? Multi-kill clip, you literally can't use because you can't reload in PvP. So it's like, you know.
You can. You just have to kill whoever has the heavy on. Wait, no.
Yeah.
You have to hold it through the second heavy drop. You just have to stay alive the whole time.
So, I mean, I guess what you would maybe do here is maybe you want this for boss damage. So you're going to do Vorpal Weapon like Field Prep or Vorpal
Yeah.
Weapon Rapid Hit or Vorpal Weapon Clown Cartridge. I mean, I struggle to recommend a good role for this gun because the linear fusions right now outside of Arbalest have no role. They need to be special weapons. Like, that's the only way these things are going to see use. Granted, if you make them special weapons, please, for the love of God, decrease the aim assist on them because the aim assist is the one thing they have going for them, and it's absolutely ridiculous, which is why Arbalest is so strong right now. So, you know, outside of that, I'm cool putting a pin in this gun.
Yeah, there's really just not any way to make it worth chasing right now. And it's, I'm gonna leave it at that. I got nothing else.
All right, guys, those are the Cabal Battlegrounds weapons. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I have been putting the times in the descriptions of the podcast when we start talking about certain stuff. So I will be doing that for this episode as well. So just keep an eye out for that if you're looking for a specific weapon. The times will be in the description of the podcast. I don't know why I'm telling you now at the end of the episode when you've already listened to everything. But for those of you who skip right to the last 30 seconds of the episode, you will hear this before and you can go back and look for your stuff. So I believe that is it for episode 201.
Actually super useful for me to know too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you'll actually be able to use it. But all right, guys, we will see you next week. Bye.
Peace.